Before that, though, and after a 7.5-year-long journey, NASA's Dawn spacecraft is finally in orbit around the dwarf planet, slap on wrist if you call it an asteroid, Ceres. Ceres is the largest of the bodies in the asteroid belt out beyond Mars, and scientists hope that it's going to be able to tell us something about how planets like the Earth were formed. Carolyn Crawford is from the Institute of Astronomy in Cambridge, and she's here to shed some light on this for us. Hello, Carolyn.
Hello there.
What actually is the asteroid belt, first of all?
Well, the asteroid belt is this enormous swarm of rocky, icy objects that live out between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. So you're talking about just over 2 to just over 3 times further out from the Sun than the Earth lies. And they're basically debris. They're left over from the early stages of the formation of the solar system. They're kind of like chunks of a planet that failed to coalesce. There was supposed to be a planet between Mars and Jupiter, but you've got the gravity of Jupiter kept stirring up all those rocks, meant they never got their act together. They never formed a planet. And so, you know, they're of interest because they're telling us something about that early solar system.
So if we study those rocky bodies, we learn something about the evolutionary history of how planets put themselves together 4.5 billion years ago.
The thing about most of the asteroids is they're very small. They go down to tens of metres, and there are just a few that are perhaps hundreds of kilometres across. And if you have an object that size, it doesn't undergo all the sort of geological processing that the major planets do. It hasn't had tectonic plate processing. It hasn't had all the kind of geochemical activity. So most of the asteroids remain as almost like pristine chunks of that very primitive material that went into the solar system. So you were just talking about fossils. Well, in a way, asteroids are the fossils for our solar system. We look back at those and we can see what the ingredients were to make the planets we have today.
Ceres is something of an outlier then, isn't it, given that it's about 1,000 kilometres across, sitting in amongst this debris field?
Yes, and it's an interesting one, and you may regard it more as a failed protoplanet. And this is why it's interesting, because it's the bridge between those small pristine asteroids and the major planets. Maybe this did get further along in the development, and maybe it reached the protoplanet stage before it then failed to continue. And because it's that size, as you say, just under 1,000 kilometres across, it's got enough gravity that it's pulled itself into a sphere. It's undergone some of that geological processing. It's undergone what we call differentiation. It has a core, it has a mantle, it has a crust. And so it's kind of gone somewhere along the way to being a planet, but not quite.
Dawn didn't go straight to Ceres, though, did it? Because it took in Ceres' smaller sister, Vesta, on the way a few years ago.
That's right. Between 2011 and 2012, it spent a year in orbit around Vesta, which is the next largest object in the asteroid belt. That's not big enough to really be a dwarf planet, but it still is probably a protoplanet. It's only just over 500 kilometres across, and it forms an interesting contrast to Ceres. It's slightly closer into the Sun than Ceres is. It's a less icy body. It's got a metallic core. And one of the things that's fascinating the scientists about this whole mission is to be able to compare two so different protoplanets. Why is one a much more wet object? Ceres has got ice and rock, whereas Vesta really doesn't. It's much more metallic and rock. And what are the differences between the two planets? And how can you account for them being more or less the same part of the solar system, but yet having had quite different histories?
I know everyone's saying this week or so just gone by that Dawn has arrived at Ceres, but this is only really the beginning, isn't it? Because now it's got to establish itself in a much lower orbit than it is now in order to do the surface survey it's going to do.
Well, we had some fantastic views of Ceres as it was approaching around about sort of mid-February. It effectively overshot the dwarf planet, and then it's approached it from the dark side. And it's then, got to manoeuvre itself into a closer orbit and get round to the sunlit side. So we're not going to get fantastic images probably for a few weeks now until the end of April. And it's going to start out at an orbit about 4,000 kilometres away, and over the next year and a half, work spiralling closer and closer, and so it can then map the surface from down to about a few hundred kilometres away and get more and more detail about those features that we're beginning to see.
And just very briefly, what is it actually going to be scrutinising the surface to see, or how is it going to examine the surface?
Well, obviously they're going to be taking images and spectroscopy of the light reflected from the surface. They'll be looking at the geology of the surface, but they're also going to be sensing any variations in the gravitational response of the spacecraft from the dwarf planet. That's telling us something about the internal structure and help us to kind of dissect what the core is like, and also whether there are possibilities that it does have a substantial fraction of ice or even possibly water underneath that crust.
It's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Thank you very much, Carolyn Crawford from the Institute of Astronomy.